Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us, continuing our coverage of Selection Sunday and what you can expect from the tournament. The play-in games start Tuesday and Wednesday, the real action Thursday and Friday. Kansas, a number one seed. The Big 12 got seven teams in. This is the conference we've told you all year to pay attention to. Jesse Newell joins us from the Kansas City Star to help us talk about Kansas and, of course, the conference. How are you, Jesse?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Good. All right, let's talk about the Jayhawks. This is as good of a team as Bill Self has ever had. In terms of the strength of the Jayhawks, this brand of Kansas basketball, what makes this Kansas team the number one favorite?
Well, I'd say right now that they're just balanced. When you see other teams in the tournament, some of them are good offensively, some of them are good defensively, and this Kansas team has really rounded into form the last month defensively, which has made them a very good team on both sides of the ball. You know, Bill Self has always had a defensive reputation, but about a month and a half ago, his team wasn't defending that well. You know, the guards were getting blown by off the dribble. They didn't have a true shot blocker. But in the last month, they really locked down defensively. Landon Lucas has emerged as a really solid defender inside the five spot. And then the guards are playing great. Frank Mason and Devontae Graham, their two starting guards, got named to the all-conference, all-defensive team. And from that point on, with them getting steals and then Landon Lucas anchoring the back, they've been a different team defensively. And that's why they're on such a roll, 14 straight wins heading into the NCAA tournament.
They are a deep team, and I know depth can't really hurt you, but is it a real advantage for Kansas to be this deep?
I think there is in one aspect. You know, last year when they lost to Wichita State in the round of 32, they left Wayne Selden in there, and he really had one of his worst games of his career. The thing that depth does is if that starts to happen, you at least have options you can put in. And for KU, at that point, position in particular, they have Brandon Green, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the nation, and then they also have Steve Mikhailuk, who's thought very highly in draft circles as a very young prospect. So I think where it helps you is that KU has the bodies to throw at teams if they need them. Now, it's kind of like a nice pinch hitter off the bench in baseball. You don't always need them, but it is nice, you know, if that tough left-hander out of the bullpen comes, to have somebody off the bench to do a certain role. And KU definitely has that both at the three position and also at the four and five position. You know, Shek Diallo is a guy that should be in the NBA next year, but he's a guy that barely plays with him off the bench. Again, they might need him, and Carlton Bragg's another guy, a McDonald's All-American from last year. They don't need those guys every game, but it sure is nice to have that luxury just in case they're needed.
They're 30-4 now, and it was kind of a year where we didn't really see the overly dominating team or a couple of teams in college basketball. Everyone's got a little bit of a flaw. If there's a flaw for Kansas coming into the tournament, what would it be?
Yeah, I would say a couple of them. For one, I mentioned this, but they don't have a true dominant shot blocker inside. You know, they kind of win with quickness on the perimeter and really some good scouting report defense, and Bill Self kind of doing the best defensive coordinator job. You know what I mean? Like he rotates KU's man defenses. They do different things when they switch ball screens and things like that. So he's very good at kind of scheming the other team, if you will. But they don't have a Jeff Withey, a Cole Aldrich, a Joel Embiid like they've had in the past. So teams can score like that on them inside. And then offensively, they're a team that they will turn over on occasion against teams that pressure them quite a bit. But other than that, like I said, pretty solid. But the thing about KU and what's happened through this 14-game win streak is that when their offense has suffered, their defense has picked up the slack, and then vice versa, when their defense has suffered, like a team against Iowa State, they've been able to outscore them. Altogether, they're a pretty darn good team. I think we've seen that over the course of the last month and a half.
All right, Jesse Newell joins us, Kansas City Star, as we go over Kansas and, of course, the Big 12. I want to ask you about Oklahoma real quick. All right, so Buddy Hield, we know about him. But if there's a barometer for Oklahoma, meaning if there's that other player that you could look at to say, hey, if he's on and Buddy Hield's doing what Buddy Hield does, then this is a really unbeatable team. If there's that second act for Oklahoma, who would that be?
Yeah, definitely Jordan Woodard to me. He's a guy that definitely has improved. The junior guard, 6 foot. And, I mean, he was a guy in the first matchup against KU. He can create off the dribble. He's made himself to a much better three-point shooter. And he's kind of the complement. You know, if Buddy Hield is the guy that gets him going, then he's the one that opens things up for. And always has been a guy that can get to the free throw line, always been a guy that can beat you off the dribble because he's so quick and get steals, that sort of thing. But, again, he's been up and down. When he kind of slumped, Oklahoma was part of that slump, and when they lost a few games in a row, it kind of fell out of the Big 12 race. But, you know, Isaiah Cousins, they have so many good guards on that team. Isaiah Cousins, a 6'4" guard, kind of took over the point guard spot for them this year and really helped them as well. And their big men just kind of fill in. You know, Kadeem Ladin's a great shot blocker. Ryan Spangler's a pick-and-pop guy from the four spot that can hit a three. But to me, Jordan Woodard's the difference maker.
All right, West Virginia with Bob Huggins. Great press defense. But if they're playing a team that can beat that press, can they defend effectively in the half court?
Yeah, I think that's the big challenge with them. And I give Bob Huggins a lot of credit because we don't see any other team doing this style. You know, they are all out on pressing. They played King in that championship game in the Big 12 tournament this last week, and you know, they press after missed shots, which is just almost insanity. Like, how do you right. do something like that? I mean, it's crazy. But, I think they're definitely a team that, you're right, if they don't get those steals, if they don't get those turnovers, where it really hurts them is offensively, because they're a team that relies so much on offensive rebounding, stick back, getting to the free throw line. But as far as shooting threes or shooting jump shots or generating offense or not turning it over, all those things are a real struggle for West Virginia. They really rely on their defense to create their offense. I think as you saw in the Big 12 Tournament Championship game, if that doesn't always happen, then that's a real struggle for them on both ends of the ball because their offense suffers as well. But I will say this, this is not a team I'd want to face on one day rest because they play such a different style and they have such good depth and quickness on the perimeter that I think this is a really tough matchup if you get them on the second end of one weekend.
All right, you know how people feel about Iowa State, right? Wake me up when they're doing something great in the tournament. Is that the same feeling with this Cyclones team? Like, they're just flawed enough that I just can't be all in on them in this tournament?
You know, this is a team, I don't know if I love their draw in it, but I do like them overall. I think Iowa State's one of the teams, kind of like K-State, that really got hurt because of the depth of the Big 12. And, you know, somebody's got to lose these games. And I think a lot of times Iowa State was one of the ones that was, you know, they lose two overtime games, and then you look up and their conference record at 10-8 isn't impressive, and you think, oh, what happened to Iowa State? When really, they're probably a pretty good team playing in a really tough conference. A couple weeks ago, actually, Iowa State had risen up in one advanced measure as the number one offense in the nation. So, I mean, they were above everybody else. So they can still shoot it. They can stretch it. Where they've gotten a lot better is they have the reputation of being a three-point shooting team, but this year they're top five nationally in two-point percentage. They really spread you out. They open up driving lanes, and George Niang is a great guy offensively who can really take over a game. So I really like their team. I really think they might be underrated coming into this tournament, but a lot of that's just because in the Big 12, when two really good teams are facing each other, somebody's got to lose. And I think more often than not in close games, Iowa State was taking those close losses and makes you have a different opinion of them than maybe what you might have in a couple weeks if they have this NCAA tournament run.
What's the read on Texas? Because Shaka Smart adapted himself to the players that he had, turned in a very, very good season. But what's the read on the Longhorns? How do you define them?
Yeah, I think Shaka Smart's a great coach and was really adjusting to what he had. But that early season injury that they had to Cameron Ridley really changed their team. You know, he was kind of a defensive anchor in the back, and then they lost him. And there's an emergence of Prince Ibe, who just became this almost all-conference-type player for them and a great defensive weapon inside blocking shots. So it's really interesting with them because Cam Ridley got a couple minutes in the Big 12 tournament back from his injury, and that was the first he played. So I don't know really what they do at this point. I'm assuming they'll kind of keep the rotation going with Prince Ibe and maybe sprinkle in a few minutes from Cam Ridley, but it's really tough at this time of the year to completely change your team back to what it was before. But you know, if we know anything about Shaka Smart, he can make a run in the NCAA tournament. Kansas knows that all too well after, you know, VCU knocked him off in 2011. I really like him as a coach.
Jesse Newell, Kansas City Star. No disrespect to Baylor. I got like less than a minute left. And I did want to ask about Texas Tech because, hey, Tubby Smith's done a pretty good job here, but should I buy into Texas Tech a little bit?
I wouldn't really say so. The thing about Texas Tech is they're a team like a lot of the other teams in the Big 12 that just rebounding-wise, it's a struggle for them on the defensive end, and it looks really ugly on the offensive end as well. And I guess don't sleep on Baylor. The thing about Baylor is Scott Drew has sneakily gotten into a bunch of Elite Eights with that team, and it doesn't seem like that's the case, but he often does. But with them, they're kind of like West Virginia, too, grab a bunch of offensive rebounds. They're actually a really skilled shooting team, so a team that could make a run, but you just never really know with Scott Drew. He can make those runs to the Elite Eight that happen about every other year. Sometimes it surprises people. I would say just don't let it surprise you what happens this year.
Jesse Newell, Kansas City Star on the Big 12. Looking forward to it. Thank you much, my friend.
I appreciate it.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk more about the NCAA tournament. My thoughts on the SEC from my time in Nashville, watching Kentucky win it all. 800-777-2907 if you want your thoughts on how your bracket's going to look when this is all said and done. All coming up next. It's Yahoo Sports Radio.